want you to read with me from Matthew 6, 9 through 13, something you have quoted many times. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then I want you to read with me Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to pray with me. Holy Spirit, open our ears tonight. Open our hearts and our minds. Help us to receive what you have for us this evening, that we can grow thereby. Change us, transform us as we look in the Word. Let it change us to be more like Jesus. I pray that our hearts are revived and refueled and refired, and that we are refined, oh God, tonight. Do this all in your name, we pray. Your mighty name, amen. You can be seated. These two passages are probably the most recited in all of the Bible, yet I don't know that we really plumb the depths and the heights that are contained in them. These scriptures contain treasures and insight and healing that can't be discovered by the casual reader or even just quoting it time after time with a closed mind. It takes prayer and meditation on his word to draw us nearer into the throne room of God and really appreciate the deep things of God. And I felt compelled for several weeks now to talk about prayer again. I have sensed Holy Spirit drawing us to a place of intimacy that is only birthed and experienced through seasons of prayer, personal prayer, and corporate prayer. Charles Spurgeon said, to pray is to enter the treasure house of God and to gather riches out of an inexhaustible storehouse. Concentrated, intentional prayer will produce purity and power in our lives. It will position us to seek God's face rather than his hand. We often go to God with our needs. I need this, God. You know my need. But that type of prayer where we intentionally go after God positions us in his face. It's the place where his power and glory are on display. It isn't enough when you go there to just come to church and have church. It isn't enough just to read a few scriptures and to say your prayers as you're running out the door, but there's something about intentional, concentrated prayer, focusing on the face of God that keeps drawing you in. When you've spent time in the secret place, Nothing else will really satisfy the soul like being in the presence of God. Rick Warren said, Satan tries to limit your praying because he knows your praying will limit him. Let me say that again. Satan tries to limit your praying because he knows your praying will limit him. As I've studied for tonight, my soul began to swell with an old song that expressed my desire to more fully understand God's word. I've been a little bit gruff, so it's going to be up there. I'm going to start it, but you all are going to have to carry it. Tim, you're going to have to help me. And it's just draw me near. I am thine, O Lord. If heard thy voice and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer. Sing it. Sing that chorus. Thou hast died.
Draw me
nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Now make this your prayer. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Sing that chorus again. Nearer, blessed Lord, cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer to thy precious bleeding side. Is that your prayer tonight? Is that your desire? Clement of Alexandria said, prayer is keeping company with God. Isn't that awesome? I want to keep company with God. I don't want to visit. I don't want to go in and out on Sundays and Wednesdays. I want to host his presence every single day. Don Stamp said, on the most basic level, prayer simply refers to our communication, our conversation with God. Several years ago, y'all bear with me tonight because I'm going to get through this because God has something. Amen. Several years ago, and I have shared this with you, I heard something that changed my perception on spiritual growth and transformation. I realized the deep things of God cannot be taught, they must be caught. I've watched through the time and through years that you can sit under anointed preaching and teaching and not grow spiritually. You can read the word but not be changed by it. Your expectancy and obedience plays a great part in spiritual growth and maturity. And for the next 2 to 3 weeks, however God leads this, I believe that there is going to be milk, and there's going to be manna, and there's going to be meat in this journey that God is leading us into to digest. But I will say this to you, that the expectant heart is going to experience a new level of glory. I just feel it. I sense it. I know it. This has been burning in me for several weeks now. And I want you to read this with me in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Very familiar. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. To become humble, to pray, to seek, to turn are all action verbs. It requires a response from us to what God is calling us and asking us to do. And at the same time, when I look at what happens, what the promise of healing is in this, that the healing that is linked to repentance, to humility, to turning from worldly ways and opinions, we can look around. And we can see all the evil that is going on around us. We see it everywhere we look. And we can thank God that we've been delivered from that and that we're not participating in many of the things that we see the world on. But maybe we need to repent of being lukewarm. Maybe we need to repent of carnal thinking. Maybe we need to repent of being apathetic in our spiritual walk and lethargic in our worship. Maybe we need to repent of holding on to an offense that has kept us from entering into worship or from withholding serving God, serving tables, waiting tables, loving on people, standing at the door greeting, whatever it is. Maybe we need to repent of slacking up in our prayer life and just coasting along or dabbling in fleshly desires that are dampering our hunger for God. Are we as passionate as we were even a month ago or 6 months ago or a year ago? Do we come in and are we excited and ready to worship? Do we have to have music? Do we have to have a song? Do we have to have something for us to respond? Or are we prayed up and expectant and ready? Are we praying for the man of God or the woman of God or whoever it is that God has in the pulpit or teaching? Are we praying for them? Are we praying for the lost? Are we praying for our prodigals? It's easy to drift. It's easy to become complacent for any of us. It's easy. It's easy to become disillusioned and discouraged and disconnected. Sometimes it's just becoming disconnected, uninvolved. Whatever the enemy can use to get us disengaged, he don't care if you come to church. He really don't. As long as you're not praying and the fire's not burning and you're not worshiping and you're not obeying and you're not walking in repentance, he don't care that you're here. So there's this call to pray and to turn. You know, so many have grew up hearing about the rapture, that it would take place at any moment. I mean, there were times I'm like, am I going to be able to get married and have kids? The rapture is going to happen. You all know what I'm talking about. Back before caller ID, if I got home, my mom and dad weren't there. I didn't know where they were. I thought the rapture's taking place. I'm going to call Sister Hall. If she answers, I know we're going to be okay. She wouldn't know it was me. I'd hang up real quick. I'd be so excited when she answered. But now we don't think about him coming. We're desensitized that he could come at any moment. But the reality is the state we're in, even if the Lord tarries, we need prayer in our nation. I don't want to go and turn into a communist or a socialistic country, which is where we're heading at the rate we're going. We need prayer. We need to pray. We need God to move, and he responds to prayer. One of the things that I feel so strong, even in this journey of what God is doing as we walk through this prayer again, but there's going to be many things that I sense God stirring and doing, is that we do need healing. We need healing in our hearts. We've walked with wounds. We've been wounded. You don't go through this life without being wounded, without trauma, without things that affect you in ways that you didn't expect that it would affect you in. There's so much loss and so many things that are going on that take hold. We need healing. And that's what happens when we pray and we get in the presence of God. He's able to heal us. The goal of the enemy is for every Christian is to deceive and bring spiritual death, and to the non-believer to keep them in darkness and blindness and death. Yet we serve a king whose kingdom has no end. It's an everlasting kingdom. We serve a God whose throne is in heaven, but whose footstool extends to the earth. This scripture never grows old to me. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the fullness and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. I believe this is a season and a time. I shared it with our altar workers on Sunday, that we need to heed the instruction found in Colossians 4 and 2, where we continue earnestly in prayer, being watchful and vigilant with thanksgiving. We continue earnestly. We don't just go along with what we've known and done before. We're in a different season. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to be in his face, listening to what he's telling us to do and how to pray. I have found God shifting my prayers even for prodigals. Sometimes I'm just going along and things will start coming out of my mouth that I've never prayed before. And I'm like, whoo, that's powerful. It's warfare prayers. It's declarative prayers, things that the Holy Spirit just begins to pour in and speak in, because he knows what battle is happening in the heavenlies, but he's giving us the grace and the fortitude and the unction and the understanding and the anointing to come against the gates of hell and push them back. That's why we have to pray. That's why we have to pray and pray some more. John Hagee, this is a little lengthy, but it is powerful. What is prayer? Prayer is not sending God to run your errands. A Christian can see more on his knees than he can on his feet. Prayer is not getting God prepared to do your will. Prayer is getting you prepared to do his will. Prayer is the only way to release supernatural power of God in your life, in your marriage, in your business, to show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Prayer is the key that unlocks the gates of heaven and closes the gates of hell. Prayer is the power to cure sickness and disease. Prayer can shatter the shackles of misery and habit that are tormenting your life, or the life of your son or daughter, or the life of your husband or wife. Prayer does not need proof. Prayer needs practice. God is as close as your next prayer. If your marriage is under attack, pray. If your children are being tormented by the prince of darkness, pray. If your business is failing, pray. If you're fighting a deadly disease, pray. If you are lost without God, pray. If your life is empty, seemingly hopeless, pray, pray, pray. Because God answers prayer. A prayerless Christian is a weak Christian. A prayerless Christian is a miserable Christian. A prayerless Christian is a Christian who always lives in defeat. A prayerless church is a weak church. A prayerless nation is a defeated nation. A prayerless family will be a divided family. It has been said, and it bears saying again, a family that prays together stays together. You cannot pray, truly pray, and stay the way you are. You cannot. God has given you authority of his name. He has given you the power of his word. He has given you the sanctity of his blood. So the question is, when will you use the power he has given to you to blast the kingdom of hell off the ground and announce that Jesus Christ is Lord? The initiative rests with you. Pray, pray, and pray some more. I don't believe that prayer, the lack of prayer, is always intentional. It's just that we don't always make it a priority. Sometimes it's that we're unsure how to pray and what to say. It's overwhelming to think about praying for an hour. But the reality is if you truly broke down the Lord's Prayer and just prayed it and encapsulated it, you could pray it with an hour and it just go by very quickly. I encourage you to pray. I have learned that his word is one of the most powerful places to pray from. And the more that I delve into the Lord's Prayer and Psalms 23, the more personal God becomes to me. When I study, I always ask Holy Spirit to lead me to books and resources and things that are going to make the place I'm studying come alive. And one of the books that I have read in this last bit is 21 Seconds to Change Your World by Dr. Mark Rutland. And he talks about how the Psalms 23 and the Lord's Prayer brought him out of a very deep, dark depression. I love to listen to Jensen Franklin. He makes the Lord's Prayer personable and applicable. And I'm going to ask him to put that up there just so you can see it. We're not going to hit all of these tonight, but just to give you just some forethought when you're praying the Lord's Prayer. It starts with praise. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then it moves to priority. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we're going to talk more about that next week. It moves to provision. Give us this day our daily bread. To pardon. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It moves to power. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And it moves to praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I believe Holy Spirit is going to do some very deep things, not only tonight, but through the things that he's been placing in the days ahead. But the Lord's Prayer is a kingdom prayer. When Larry Stockskill teaches on this passage about prayer, he puts it this way. Prayer is ambassadors communicating with headquarters. What I love about even the Lord's Prayer is that it begins with praise and it ends with praise. And we're going to focus there for a moment. Because praise will change the trajectory of the way that you see things, the way that you worship, the way that you study his word, the way that you serve in the kingdom of God, the way that you live your life. But what Jesus taught in Matthew 6, he said, when you pray, say. Speak it out. Say it. And oftentimes people will say, I'm quiet. That's not my nature. But here's the powerful thing is speaking the word of God. Faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing how? By the word of God. So when you begin to speak it out loud, you speak it into the atmosphere, you begin to encourage even your own self. I cannot tell you the times that I will be declaring the word of God just by myself, singing the word of God, or I'm encouraging someone else and I'm going through something myself. You know how God does that. And I begin to speak that word out loud over them. And something begins to rise up in my bones. You know what I'm talking about, sis. Something begins to change inside of you because there's something about the word and saying the word. The psalmist declared in Psalms 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. In Psalms 113, 2 and 3, it said, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. The Lord, name of the Lord is to be praised. Do you know when you begin to praise, it's an antidote for anxiety. It's an antidote for fear, for envy, for discouragement, for depression, for heaviness, for fear, for doubts. Do you know that your praise is a weapon? Do you know that's why the enemy fights you like he does? And I will keep preaching on praise as long as there is breath in my body, because it is a weapon. When you begin to praise and God inhabits your praise, God arises, your enemies are scattered. They begin to be pushed back. That's why you begin to feel a lot of times the heaviness lift over your life, lift out of your home. If you just play all kinds of secular music and watch all kinds of secular things and you fill your house with that, you're going to be getting under the load of that at some point. It's going to feel heavy. But when you begin to put on music that edifies and glorifies God and you begin to worship, there's going to be a full change in the atmosphere. There's something that happens in this house. When people come in and we live in a world where we're working, there's all kinds of things, there's all kinds of news all the time that can just get you down. And when we come in and we're just all, in a state, which happens, there comes a point when we have got to begin to push back against that's pushing against us and give God glory, because that's how we enter into his gates and into his courts. But it does something for all that is going on. It's a weapon. So we're going to learn this from his word for just the next few moments. Psalms 103:1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I'm not going to just bless him with just lip service. I'm not going to just bless him from yesterday. I'm going to bless him with all that is within me. I'm going to give him the glory that is due his name. I'm going to worship while I weep. I'm going to serve while I'm suffering. Why? Because he's been too good to me, too faithful to me. And I know that whatever I'm going through right now, he's gonna see me through again. There's something about praise. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. What are we to do? Bless his holy name. And then he tells us to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and what? Forget not all his benefits. who forgives all your iniquities. So just when you begin to even praise the Lord, I'm teaching you something tonight. Write these scriptures down, because when you're heavy and you don't know what to thank God for, then I want you to go to Psalms 103 and I want you to begin to bless the Lord even in your trial and in your hard space, and you begin to thank him for forgiving all your iniquities. And when you do that, you're lifting up Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. We're going to bless the Lord who heals all of our diseases, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. We're going to bless the Lord who redeems our life from destruction, Jehovah Nisi. He's the Lord our banner. We're going to bless the Lord who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. We're going to bless the Lord who satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And then I begin to think about thanking God that he's the God who sees me, El Roy. He sees where I'm at. I'm never alone. It may be feel like I'm walking through the wilderness right now, but God sees me. So I'm going to thank him for that, because this wilderness isn't always going to last. I'm going to thank the Lord that he's the God of peace, Jehovah Shalom, that he will keep me when in perfect peace when I keep my mind on him. I'm going to thank him because he's a shield about me, the glory and the lifter of my head. I'm going to thank him for being my light and my salvation. I'm going to thank him for saving me when I was crushed in spirit. I'm going to thank him for being my strength and my shield, for being my faithful God and my guard against the enemy. And I'm certain you have favorite scriptures, but one of my favorite, and I guess it's because I've had to visit the pit a lot. Anybody been there with me? Amen. Yes. Is Psalms 40 and 2, where the psalmist said, he lifted me out of a pit of despair, a deep miry pit, and he established my goings. He put me upon a rock, and then he put a song in my mouth, even praise to our God. I've been in some low valleys like you have. Some of you may be there tonight, but I want to tell you something. You don't wait for the victory. You walk from a place of victory. You serve the God who is victorious. You may have to go through the valley of Baca. You may be going through there right now, but you keep allowing your soul to sing even in the valley of Baca. You keep praying, you keep praising, you keep pressing, you keep looking up to the Lord, because he's going to bring you through. And when he does, you will not come through the way that you started it from the beginning. You're going to come through different. You're going to see the Lord different. You're going to recognize him more readily. All that's happening in that place is he's fine-tuning you to know him even deeper. When we start our prayers this way in adoration, it reminds us of the goodness of God and the love of God. It's what the psalmist David was declaring in Psalms 23 when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." It's what he was declaring there. Your praise is a weapon, and there's power in that name. Our praise is adoration. It prepares us for kingdom service. Our praise and our adoration opens us to new realms of revelation, so that we see facets of God that we haven't seen before. And this is really what I sense the Holy Spirit inviting us to partake of. There's healing in the presence of God. I'm talking about not just physical healing, but emotional healing. in the presence of God. Or something that happens when we intentionally position ourselves before God and allow him to begin to do a deep work in us. When we bring our vulnerabilities, our nature, when we're vulnerable, when we're going through a hard place, is to pull away from people. But we often want to pull away from God. We want to hide. And yet he pursues us and he sees us and he loves us. And I am telling you that God wants to do something in your life that is supernatural, that only he can do. And he's calling us to pray. And it starts with learning how to praise. Because what often happens is we want to jump right in sometimes to petition and to supplication and to intercession and to warfare because it's all around us. But when we short circuit that time that we spend in God's face, then we begin to live from a place of tension and frustration instead of a place of peace and faith. We've got to see God. We have to see him high and lifted up. We can't get things out of line and out of order. We have to learn how to worship. I read a powerful story from Mark Rutland, and I'm going to close. But he talked about a man that felt very awkward singing. He didn't feel like he had a singing voice. He said his wife could sing beautifully. She would lift her hands. She loved church. She loved worship. And he said, I just wanted to skip right to the preaching. It just felt awkward. And he was telling Dr. Rutland this, and Dr. Rutland said, maybe you're confusing singing with worship. And he said, I thought singing was worship. And he said, singing should be worship, but worship is not always singing. And he said, why don't you try reciting the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer? And he said, it'll take some focus. But he said, do that instead of sing, but worship in a different way. And he said, even try to lift your hands, but just worship. So the man said, okay. It was a few months later, Dr. Rutland went back, and the man's countenance, everything was different. And he said, I see what you mean. He said, I love worship now. I love worship now. Sometimes we just equate it with mindsets. But there's something that God wants to do in us. And one of the things is this. Part of praise, part of that first part of that prayer is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We need to honor that name. We need to revere that name. We need to exalt and magnify the name of the Lord. When his name is mentioned, when Jesus is mentioned, when the Lord is mentioned, something should happen inside of us. We want to respect him and we want to honor him. Not just with our worship, not just with our words, but with our life, with the way that we live, that our actions, that our speech, what we watch, what we do, where we go, everything that we do it all for the glory of God, and that it edifies even the body of Christ. That's what we do. When we think of hallowed be thy name, we're honoring God. We're going to sing another song, and I want you to stand. One of the most profound scriptures to me on worship is found in Romans 12. It's on the screen. I love it out of the Message because it's so practical. I don't apologize for using this scripture frequently because I want it to get down in your spirit, because it is a word that transforms and it is a word that changes us. It is a word that convicts us. Let's read it together. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you.